So speaking of reserved and shy, our old pal, who knows a thing or two about the NHL draft, by the way, Carlo Colaiacovo, joins us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Carlo, thanks for joining us. How are you, big fella?
I'm doing great, guys. And if I can offer a word of advice to both of you, please never retire, because I can never get enough of Gord Miller calling games, and I can never get enough of Steve Simmons' column. So,
well, thanks for calling,
you guys.
Thanks for calling in, and have a great day. Thanks for being with us, Carlo. The NHL draft is tonight. We want to talk to you about your draft experience in a moment, but Owen Power from Mississauga is the consensus pick to go first overall in the draft, defenseman from the University of Michigan, who had an extraordinary year. And I saw it firsthand at the World Championship in Latvia. But tell us what you know about him and what you think.
Gord, you know, I shared the same sentiment as you. I only watched this kid on TV. I watched a lot of Michigan games last year because of the three prospects that they have. And I've got a close friend on the team, Eric Ciccolini, that I watched really, really well, or really closely. And you know, you see a guy on TV, you can see the talent, you can understand, you know, why, you know, people rave about him. But I got a chance to see this guy, you know, live in person, and got a good first look at him 2 weeks ago at the Power Edge Pro hockey camp, and I was blown away. I could not believe the talent, the size, the skill level, the footwork on this kid, and I was just, wowed. And now I understand why people rave about him so much, you know, including Gerard Gallant, who spoke about him and his performance at the World Championships. This kid has, you know, you talk about five tool players in baseball. I know it's young to project a kid with those type of tools, but I think Owen Power is going to be a five tool hockey player, because defenseman, 6 foot six, he's 215 pounds, plays like a man, you know, hits guys like a beast on the ice, and I've never seen a guy skate like this before. Well, I mean, it reminds me of Paul Coffey when he skates, and I never even watched Paul Coffey in his prime. So really amazed by all the talents that he represents, and I think Buffalo's gonna get a hell of a player.
So my experience was the same as yours. He didn't play in the World Junior Championship. Michigan didn't release him. I saw him on TV a few times, and then I saw him at the World Championship in person, went to a Canadian practice and thought, "Ooh, this guy does move well for a big man." Gerard Gallant, the head coach, said to us before the tournament, to Mike Johnson and myself, you know, he's a great kid, a lot of personality, very mature. He'll play a little bit, but we'll spot him in and out. He won't play every game, but we'll spot him in and out. And the first game, a 2-0 loss to Latvia, he played fewer than 8 minutes. I think he had one shift in the first period.
But in that gold medal game.
In the gold medal game, he plays like 24 and a half minutes. Yeah. And he's in the top defense pair. And they had a guy with a 10-minute misconduct, all of that. So what amazes me about him, Carlo, is the poise.
Like this. Very much.
This
I was
is
just going to say that.
This is what strikes me about kids like him. He's 18 going on 28.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I saw that. I saw the exact same thing. And you know, Power Edge Pro, they've got a unique skill set where they use apparatus training on the ice, and they use a lot of small area training. And 6 foot six, small area training, you think guys would struggle with the puck, and this guy was actually destroying the drills. I mean, he was putting on a clinic with his skill set, his hands, his feet, his footwork, in and around the apparatuses. And you said it, everything he did was with so much poise. And That's a big thing to have as a young kid, because it helps you with a lot of your own self-confidence, and clearly he's got a lot of it, because you even talked about the kid that he is. He's very well-spoken, very well-mannered, and it was a real, real treat to meet him and, you know, actually see him firsthand, and I'm excited to see the future of this kid in the NHL.
Gord and I are in agreement about something that championship teams tend to need in the NHL. They tend to need that A defenseman. And there are very few of them. There aren't very many of them in the NHL. There might be five in total when you count them all up. And if this guy goes to the Buffalo Sabres and he's an A defenseman, and there's still possibility of Rasmus Dahlin developing into an A defenseman, this Buffalo Sabres team could be, Carlo, in great shape for many years to come.
You know what, Steve? I'd like to think so. I have high hopes for Buffalo. I really want to see that team be successful, because the fan base deserves it. But the thing that scares me is that it is Buffalo. I mean, they've done a pretty poor job over the last couple of years developing their young talent, including Rasmus Dahlin, who, you know, going into that draft, I had high hopes for too, because I saw him playing Europe that year and he dominated the European game. And that's not easy to do considering, you know, it's a different game compared to what the NHL and maybe North American hockey represents. And I'm not going to lie to you, I really didn't like what I saw to Rasmus Dahlin at all last year until Don Granato took over. And a lot of, you know, the maturity and the development for young players like that is the environment that they grow up in, where it just seemed like the Sabres were feeding Rasmus Dahlin to the Sharks last year and really exposing himself in bad situations. I hope they don't do that with guys like Owen Power and some of the other young draft picks that they're going to build their team around moving forward, because clearly they are going through another rebuild. And you're right, Steve. If they can surround themselves like guys like Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, they've got a lot of good other young defensemen there. I like the Henry Jokiharu as well as a young, promising young defenseman. You know, to combine that with some of their other young forwards that they have hopes for. Listen, I've always tried to preach the right message in Buffalo. They have good players there. Clearly, you can see when those players move on to other places, they find success, and they turn out to be good players. Something's wrong with the culture there, and if they can find a way to fix that, these young players have a lot of good things to look forward to.
You know who was a young defenseman and wasn't developing the way he was supposed to in his first or second year? A guy named Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
He turned out pretty well, I think.
Yeah, remember the story about him was the Rangers were trying to trade for him, and someone said to their scouts, you know, Keenan says he couldn't do the 12-minute run in training camp. And to which Dick Todd, who had known Pronger from Peterborough, said, well, he may not be able to run, but he sure can skate. Tell us about, with Carlo Koliakvo, co-host of First Up on TSN Radio, tell us about your draft experience in 2001. It was in Sunrise, Florida. It was unbearably hot. Oh, my. It was like the surface.
Yeah.
It was like the surface of the sun in that city then. But interesting for you because your brother was eligible for that draft as well.
Yeah, he was. And you talked about hot, Gordo. I decided to pull out the beige suit, like the Florida colors, you know, the tan color. And my biggest fear going into that was my sweat marks were going to show through my suit, because it was a very nerve-wracking moment for me. You talk about having my brother there. I had 30 members of my family there, you know, expecting, to celebrate a great day, which it was. The crazy part about it was I had no idea I was going to be selected by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I was ranked to go somewhere around 12 or 13, and the teams that I really had a lot of conversations with were in and around that area. And then when I didn't go there, you start looking down the list and, you know, wondering where your next path was going to be. And the thing that I caught up or caught on to really quick was right before the pick was going to be selected, you had an idea because the camera guys on the floor knew where you were sitting and they would come and find you with the camera. Well, I remember, I think it was pick 15, was sitting right in front of me, right below me. And when the camera came up, I thought it was going to be me. And when it was selected, when the guy in front of me was selected, I kind of knew the next time the camera came here, it was going to be me. And so when 17 rolls around, the Leafs are walking up to the podium, I can see the camera guys from the other side of the rink just sprint over to this side, come over to my section, and the camera literally points up at me. And now you talk about sweats and it being hot, it's coming down. And my brother's sitting right next to me, and he's nudging me in the arm. He's like, oh, my God, Carr, it's going to be you. You're going to be a Leaf. And I'm just telling him, leave me alone. I can't take this. Let it happen. Let it happen. Lo and behold, Leafs select my name. The area around me erupts because of my family members. I walk down to the stage. I put that Leafs jersey on. And my life changed in an instant. I went from a young kid that loved playing hockey to a celebrity overnight, and I wouldn't ask for it any other way. And, this is a great memory for a lot of these kids that are going to be drafted tonight. It's too bad they can't be there live in person, embracing the whole experience, but the experience that I had was something that I'll never forget.
So you can be honest now, all these years later, as you're sitting there and you're hearing the names picked one after the other, how many times did you say, I can't believe that guy got picked before me?
Well, let's just say I got picked 17th. I think I said that after every pick after number 10. I can't believe that guy went. I can't believe that. But the irony behind that is L.A. picked 18th that year, right after the Leafs. Yeah. And when you go down and meet everybody at the draft table, you're shaking everybody's hands, you're introducing yourself to all the Maple Leafs brass. I remember looking at the LA Kings table right next to them, and I can't remember the guy's name who was the head scout at the time, but he got my attention, and he showed me their jersey, and it had my name on it. Oh. So the LA Kings were going to select me next if the Toronto Maple Leafs didn't select me.
I remember Luke Robitaille saying he was a ninth-round pick of the Kings. They took a baseball pitcher in the fifth round.
They took Tom Glavine.
In the fifth round. He said there were more hot dog vendors at the Forum left by the time he was drafted. So it can be a wait. I want to switch gears a little bit, Carlo. You know, the Leafs have a second round pick tonight, a fifth and a sixth. There's so much talk about what might happen here. Do you expect the Leafs to be active? And do you hold out any hope that Zach Hyman could still be a Leaf when free agency's done next Wednesday?
That's a good question, Gord, because we're hearing a lot of speculation around surrounding Edmonton and the ties to Zach Hyman. I'm a big believer that until the day actually comes, you can never really count the team that owns your rice out of it. I think this is part of the negotiation, and I think it was a smart tactic on both parties to see what was out there to put serious pressure on the negotiation. I think everybody will agree that Zach loves being a Toronto Maple Leaf, really wants it to work out here. And if the reports are true of what's out there and what he's being offered, at least the Leafs know right now, you know, what they have to come up to if they want to keep him here. I would love for Zach Hyman to stay here because you're always looking for those type of players, and when you have them, you want to find a way to keep them, then find a way to move on from them. But I just don't see how it works. I mean, considering that they haven't moved out any salary, you know, to help accommodate, you know, somewhere close to the asking price that he's looking for, you know, the Maple Leafs are in a cap jam, and they're in a draft jam as well, you know, with only three draft picks in this draft. But I think, Gord, you could probably, you know, share the same sentiment here. I think this is a good year to not really fill yourself with that many draft picks, because how much do you really know about these players? And maybe you can hit a diamond in the rough with your, you know, second and fifth and sixth round picks that you have. And you hope that the Maple Leafs find a way to accumulate some other ones, you know, if they have some guys that they have their eyes on. But, you know, when you look at this Maple Leafs roster, who do you see them moving to accumulate those picks? Clearly, Kyle Dubas came out yesterday and says that he still believes in this group. And by him saying that, it seems like they're willing to give this group another crack at it next year.
Well, what was he supposed to say? I don't believe in the group? He had no choice.
No, you could say we need to make some changes.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Kyle has sort of looked at it and said we have to make some changes. And if he's not making any changes, then I think he's a fool.
Well, they're going to have to, Carlo, but they're going to have to anyway. I mean, no matter what happens, they're going to have to make some changes.
Well,
I mean, either Hyman, you know, if Hyman goes.
If Hyman's gone and Anderson's gone and Foligno is gone,
and
Bogosian's
gone.
And I don't think the Bogosian thing gets enough play, because I think he was a really good player for this team last year. Mm-hmm. That's four guys that you have to replace, and almost no money to replace any of them.
And the sad part is, what are you doing to try to keep any of those guys, right? I mean, you clearly had success with them last year. And, you know, if you've got to move on with them, how do you find the pieces to fit? And I think, you know, I've suggested this earlier. If Kyle Dubas really believes what he came out and said, that he believes in this group and wants to give another crack, I mean, I think that's insanity. If you've given this group three consecutive years to try to get to the next round and you're still believing in them, I mean, what other sports does a GM get that security to believe in the same group? But hey, listen, I think. You know, right now, you got to trust what Kyle Dubas has said, because in the last 2 years, I think he's done some good work. You know, the work that he's done in the offseason, the work he did at the trade deadline, I think he's exhausted every option to try to put together the most competitive team with this group. It just, the players haven't been able to pan out. And we'll see what he does, you know, during this time frame between now and Wednesday and even the start of the next season. Because, you know, if it's going to stay status quo, they almost have to be the team that take advantage of the players that are still available after day four of free agency. Guys that are still out in the market that maybe expected to get a better deal than, you know, maybe they thought, and, you know, start, you know, finding just the best situation for them on a one-year deal to have great success. And I think the Maple Leafs can convince players that there's an opportunity for them to do that here.
What an opportunity for Zach Hyman, though. You're a late bloomer. You barely get out of the University of Michigan from your early years, which you weren't really good enough to play there. You come, you sign in Toronto, or get traded to Toronto.
You're drafted by Florida.
Yeah.
And aren't going to sign there.
Because they wanted to sign you.
Yeah.
But they wanted to play immediately, and Dale Tallon said, no, I'm not going to play you immediately. I'm not going to waste a year on your contract now. So they decided to trade him. He winds up on a line with Matthews and Marner, the 4 and 5 scorers in the NHL. And guess what? If he goes to in free agency to Edmonton, he winds up on a line with McDavid and Dreisaitl, with the 1 and 2 scorers in the NHL. Yeah. Pretty nice place to be.
Well, I guess that's the advantage you have of being a highly sought-after free agent. You get to pick and choose where you want to play. And for Zach, you know, when you're leaving those two guys and you get to line up alongside those guys, you create a path of success for you moving forward. And I think that's a fear a lot of these, you know, free agents have that leave is, yeah, they're leaving for money and security and stuff like that, but they also want to find themselves having success. And if you're Zach Hyman, listen, you feel really good for the player because every player deserves the right to exercise this opportunity. And for him, you know, the thing about Hyman is that his narrative in this city has changed so much in the last couple of years, because under Babcock, people labeled him as like the coach's pet. And, you know, kudos to him. He sort of eliminated that narrative about him because he's been one of their best players ever since Babcock left. And that's a sad thing for Maple Leafs fans and the Toronto Maple Leafs, because, you know, most cases when you have a player that's been that effective, you find ways to keep him. And, you know, right now, you're thinking of different ways to replace him, which is a tough thing for Maple Leafs fans to absorb right now.
One of the things, Carlo, that Kyle Dubas said to us in the interview yesterday was that they are clearly targeting a goaltender who can play more than a few games.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, Jack Campbell's never started more than 26 games in a season. So, you know, if he gets to 52, you still need someone to play 30. On your list of priorities for the Leafs, where does finding another goaltender fit on that list?
I think it's the top of the priority. It's got to be very high because I think everybody shares the same concern as you do, Gord. I mean, Jack Campbell was an unbelievable story last year, but you know it was in a very small time frame. And not only did he have success, but he had injury issues and concerns. And you got to think that a goalie that is going to be asked to expand his, you know, his playing time might, you know, come into those injuries again. And you've got to give yourself some protection. And I just don't see the depth in this organization. I think the one question I have is, you know, you saw an amazing young goaltender get traded yesterday out of Carolina, and I still can't wrap my head around how the Carolina Hurricanes traded Alex Nedeljkovic, who is a Calder Trophy finalist and, you know, grew up in that system and, you know, had some great success in with their minor league team and was ready to take over the starting position in the playoffs. I mean, he won him a playoff round last year. And they traded him to Detroit. And just the salary that he agreed to is an affordable salary that any team would entertain for a young starting goalie. And I just question why the Maple Leafs weren't involved in that negotiation, or at least that player at that price range. I mean, a third-round pick for a goalie that you just suggested, Gord, that the Maple Leafs should be targeting. I think that's a very fair price. If anything, it's highway robbery for that price for the type of player that you're getting. So kudos to Steve Yzerman. I love this comment when he was asked about the deal. He was kind of surprised himself that a player like that was offered up to him. But listen, they got some homework to do. If they can find a way to keep Freddie Anderson in the fold, because they know what they have in the tandem there, but you know, find him on the cheaper than what he was making. You know, if that'd be a great thing for the Maple Leafs. I mean, I think a name that could potentially be out there that could be looking for a bounce back year is a guy like Ben Bishop in Dallas. But other than that, I mean, how much can you really pay a guy to come in here? I would say somewhere around the $2-3 million range. And you know, those type of players, how much can you expect for them? Because where do they sit or stand when it comes to the goalie rankings in regards to production? So tough task they have ahead of them, but they better find a way, because as good as their defense was last year, this team has always been bailed out by their goaltending.
Carlo, thanks for talking to us. I'll be on the lookout tonight for beige suits. Now, it's, of course, a virtual draft, but maybe guys at home with the beige suits. Thanks for talking to us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Happy Friday. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. That's Carlo Koliakovo. He joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today. MapleToyota.com.
This goaltending watch across the NHL is going to be fascinating.
Incredible.
Because there aren't enough spots available for the number of goalies looking for them.
Right.
Like the number of guys who think they want to be number ones, there aren't that many positions available, and so someone is going to get left by the wayside.
And who's got cap space? The other problem is there's two elements to it. Who's available and who's got space for them is two very different questions.
And what Yzerman did yesterday, reminded me of the Ben Bishop deal he did in Tampa. The same thing. He took a guy young from another team for a cheap price, and he lived off Bishop for a long time in Tampa.
I didn't read Yzerman's comment yesterday to be, he was ripping on Carolina. I read it to him say, if you want to know why Carolina traded the goaltender, ask them.
I didn't read it. I read it the same way you did, but I'm just saying, what a smart deal for Steve Yzerman, who might have his goalie for the next 10 years.
He might be a good general manager, based on what happened in Tampa.